Welcome back. Coming off a great first hour, I'm Jim Rome. Welcome to the program. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Great to be here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We're talking Browns football later on this hour. Tight end Harrison Bryant joins us. If you're on hold, stay there. As promised, nobody better than this guy. We're joined right now by a Yahoo Sports columnist. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He is co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast. He is a Busch Light enthusiast. Friend of the program, he is Dan Wetzel. Dan, what's going on? How are you?
Good, Rome. How you been?
Good, dude. Good. Great to have you back. Thanks for doing this. A couple of things to cover with you, Dan. Let me start first with Trevor Lawrence. What was your initial reaction to last night's news that he had tested positive for COVID?
Well, you know, you hope he's fine, right? You know, there's so many of these cases, and we see so many athletes that turn out to be fine that you almost forget that, you know, there's going to be somebody who it doesn't work out as well for. So that's the first thing. The other is it's really just inevitable. I mean, we've said it all along. College football is the hardest sport to try to do this during a pandemic. These guys are around other college kids. Colleges are built to be communal. They're built so people interact, and you know there's only so much of a bubble you can put a young person in. He can't just go back to a 30,000 square foot mansion like Tom Brady can, and only be around his family. So it's a little bit inevitable. And then you really look and say, all right, they can beat BC this weekend. They can probably beat Notre Dame next weekend, but will Trevor Lawrence be there for next weekend's Notre Dame game, which is a top five matchup in a year when we haven't had many and don't appear to have a whole lot during the regular season. So what's up with the Notre Dame game?
Dan Wetzel joining us. You know, you lay that out exactly as I would expect. His health, both short-term and long-term, obviously is the most important thing. Now, as you understand the ACC's COVID protocols, I mean, finish that point if you would. What is the timeline like for his return to the field, and can it happen in time for the Notre Dame game? Where does that stand?
So this is what it appears to be, but there is a little wiggle room. No one's really boxing themselves in. 10 days starting the day you get your test or you have symptoms. Now, he can go back and say, oh, I had symptoms on Monday, and restart the clock. I don't know what's exactly going on. We don't have an answer on that. He says he has, you know, relatively mild is how he described it. But he did test positive on Wednesday. 10 days from Wednesday, if you count Wednesday, is next Friday, the night before the Notre Dame game. Now, there is an 11th day where you have to have no fever, and then team doctors have to clear you. What's uncertain is, do you have to wait that entire day? Or once you don't have a fever in the morning, are you then clear? We don't exactly know right now. At least I don't. Maybe someone else does. There's also this. Trevor Lawrence wouldn't presumably be able to fly with the team on that Friday. How does he get to South Bend? Okay, you say, hey, fire up a booster's jet. That's not how the NCAA works. At least, you know, in normal times. I mean, does he have to, like, drive up there and stay at the Motel 6 off the highway by himself and then show up at the game? He would have no practice. There's all sorts of, like, these quirky little things that will make it probably pretty interesting as this sorts out. But if he gets through this fine, I do think there's a high probability that however this is going to work, Trevor Lawrence will be on the field in South Bend next Saturday night.
We are talking to Dan Wetzel. All right, Dan, obviously COVID has been the biggest story of the year, both in sports and outside of it. You also have a great piece up right now about the Big Ten and Nebraska. Now, Wisconsin's COVID totals approach the numbers where the conference would step in and mandate that the game would be called off. Wisconsin made that decision on their own. Did Nebraska feel like Wisconsin was trying to avoid playing the game without Graham Mertz and their head coach, Paul Christ?
I don't know specifically what Nebraska football thinks. I think there was a feeling around the Big Ten amongst other people that, hey, this is kind of convenient. We're just going to call this game before we have to. Now, in the ensuing days, it was sort of inevitable there'd be more tests positive. So it would have been canceled anyway. But let's just call this thing now. Because, look, we're not going to have our head coach, or we're going to be basically on what we entered the summer as our fourth-string quarterback. So there's that suspicion. Whether it's true or not, I don't, you know, who knows? But that's how football coaches are. They're very suspicious people. So there was a little bit of that. But inevitably, it was going to get canceled. You know, once there's six positives on a team, there's going to be a seventh. It just, that's just the way this virus works.
So Nebraska gets the news, Dan, about Wisconsin, and then they negotiate a deal with Tennessee Chattanooga as a last-minute replacement. How did that idea go down with the rest of the Big Ten?
Well, at the top level of the presidents and trustee level and all that, not well at all. And that's sort of the ongoing issue with Nebraska and the Big Ten. Let me be clear. I don't think it's an unreasonable idea of saying, hey, look, we're healthy to play. We want to play. It's not our fault Wisconsin has an outbreak. We also have no idea when we're going to get our outbreak. The season's already short. Like, let's get as many games in as possible. I think that's a perfectly reasonable concept for a college football team to try to do and say, hey, let's play Chattanooga. Let's not just waste this Saturday. The issue isn't so much what I think or what Nebraska thinks, it's what the Big Ten presidents are going to think. And if you know anything about these guys, these men and women, there's no way they were going to approve that. They had just set up the rules a month ago to finally say, all right, we are going to give this a try. And there was a lot of hesitancy, obviously. We will only play conference teams. And if a game is not able to be played, it will be a no-contest cancellation. These are the rules. If you know anything about the Big Ten, they care a great deal about that type of stuff, about group dynamics, group decision-making, and erring on the side of the health and safety and all those things. So it's not so much that Nebraska had this idea and asked. It's who they asked. There was simply no chance. And so when this thing came up to the Big Ten presidents on a conference call on Thursday, other than Nebraska, I mean, there just was no support. And there was never going to be any support. So it's like, why are you even trying with this? And then there's a feeling of, well, the rest of the league looks at it and says, Nebraska's just grandstanding here. They're coming up with something they know won't pass. And they're just doing it so they can put out, hey, we tried harder than everybody else. We care more about football. And so there's just this disconnect between the Big Ten and Nebraska. And it's not that either side is inherently wrong. I don't think Nebraska's view of how to do this is wrong. Or you could just simply say, that's just a stupid idea. I don't think it is. Nor can I think you look at the Big Ten and say, well, you guys all agreed upon these rules and this is how we're doing. That's not necessarily a bad idea either. It's just the mentality of the two places just don't always fit the way the other schools fit into the Big Ten, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It's actually pretty brilliant, Dan Wetzel, the way you laid that out. So what does it tell us? I mean, what does the whole sequence tell you about the relationship between Nebraska and the Big Ten?
I mean, they just don't get along. I mean, you have a lot of people going, oh, of course it was Nebraska who 1 month into this is already trying to change the rules. We all agreed on this last month. Now you want to do something different. And it's Nebraska sitting there saying, hey, you guys got to start thinking outside the box. We got to play football games. You don't understand how much it matters here in Nebraska. So they just don't get along. It's like a bad marriage. The problem is, one source inside the league said, no one knows how to get divorced, and no one really can. They can't afford it. Nobody can afford it. Nothing is going to change. It's not like Nebraska is going to leave the Big Ten. And it's not like the Big Ten is going to kick Nebraska out because they made them consider a proposal for 5 minutes on a conference call. It's not that big of a deal, but it just shows that, you know, Nebraska jumped to the Big Ten because they thought the Big 12 was going to fall apart. They were tired of Texas seemingly running the show there, and there was a lot more money in the Big Ten. And it was a marriage of a little bit of desperation and you marry for money. That doesn't usually work out into the most happy of nuptials. And the Big Ten was like, hey, we need to grab someone so we can create a conference title game. We have 11 teams. Let's take Nebraska. This ought to work. But there's just a different mentality than when other schools entered the league. Even Maryland and Rutgers, who don't really fit, just sort of go along to get along. And when Penn State entered the league as the 11th, they fit like a glove. It was a perfect mesh. It's almost hard to imagine Penn State wasn't once in the Big Ten. Like, they just fit. Nebraska just hasn't gotten that. So whether that changes, whether that develops, which way it goes to it, but right now these two places don't really get along. But what's Nebraska going to do? Even if they could go back to the Big 12, why would you? You're making so much more money playing in the Big Ten, even if you've lost sort of a little bit of that edge of getting recruiting to the Texas high schools and things like that.
Dan Wetzel, my guest. I'm not really sure how this works out, but if you're in a bad marriage, Dan, and then you end up sleeping in separate rooms, can you ultimately get back in the same room? I don't know. I don't know how that plays out, but
I don't know. But it's a football. I mean, things change, right? I mean,
they do.
It's still just football. It's, when someone's paying you $55 million a year to be there, you know, your solo bedroom doesn't seem too bad.
Sorry to Dan Wetzel. Listen, so what about the bigger conversation when it comes to Nebraska and football? I mean, they were a powerhouse for decades. A lot has changed since the glory days. Scott Frost, for instance, had great success at UCF. But if he can't lead them back to prominence, can anybody?
I mean, that's the big question. So, you know, Nebraska had a lot of historical advantages, bigger budgets, you know, a huge fan base. Obviously, Tom Osborne is a tremendous coach. You know, there was a period of time when so many schools wouldn't accept a running quarterback, particularly an African-American quarterback. They did a great job with that kind of concept. I mean, they've had a million advantages, right? It's a great place to play. But that kind of ended in the 90s, and it's a different ballgame now. And even through their Big 12 membership, they're playing four teams a year down the state of Texas. They're getting a lot of recruits from Texas. They were a little bit more of a national program. When they got to the Big Ten, if you go in, they're a long way from the Big Ten's basically recruiting base, which is Chicago, Ohio, and Detroit, and Western Pennsylvania, and stuff like that. It's hard to get those kids to literally drive by all the other schools, Michigan, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, all these schools to go all the way out to Nebraska. They're way out on the edge. They have not done as well recruiting. They haven't quite hired the right coach. Scott Frost has done better in recruiting, and we will see. But now in his third year, we have not seen anything on the field that resembles progress. Does that change this year now that they've gotten Ohio State out of the way and they're apparently not going to play Wisconsin? Perhaps. But so far, we haven't seen that jump from Scott Frost that you would have liked to have seen in year two. Again, maybe they got blown out by Ohio State, but that happened. Maybe we will see it going forward. But clearly, if he can't make it work, you wonder, you know, what's the cap, what's the limit of Nebraska football? But I'm certainly willing to give Scott Frost more time to figure that out, because he inherited a pretty mediocre roster, and it's going to take some work. But he's had some decent recruiting classes, just hasn't shown on the field.
Spending time with Dan Wetzel. Dan, one last thought, if you don't mind. I got to get your thoughts on Lane Kiffin. So he retweets that fan who was raging about that missed call in the Auburn game. He gets fined $25,000 for it. He threatens to pay the fine in pennies. Although his math was off, how good is it to have Lane back in the SEC?
Oh, yeah. I mean, All-American trolling, right? You can question his math skills, because he said, that, you know, I have a $25,000 fine. Does anyone have 25,000 pennies?
Right.
Well, yeah, that's not how it works. You need $2.5 million, but that's all right. Here's the thing. They're 1-4, and everyone's talking about Ole Miss in great ways, right? They're funny. They're in the news. Their fan base is actually pretty, like, laughing right along with it all. It's genius. He is as good at social media and all these things as any coach in the country. He just creates these kind of fun scenarios. And, you know, hey, it's his $25,000, which, you know, isn't fun, but, you know, why would you retweet a fan going off on the officials, even if the officials deserved it? You know, well, you know, a couple of years ago, he did a tweet with, he showed like some picture of like three refs all wearing blindfolds and canes. You know, like this is what he does. And then he just keeps perpetuating it and pushing and prodding and trolling every little bit. He has a lot of fun with it. But to create this much kind of positive, I don't know what it would be, emotion or reactions and fun in a year where you are rebuilding and not winning, is just genius stuff from Lane. It's great to have him back.
He is a Yahoo Sports columnist, a New York Times bestselling author, a co-host of the Yahoo Sports College podcast, friend of the program, and he is, in fact, a Bush Light enthusiast. No one better. Dan Wetzel. Dan, appreciate it, man. Great job, as always. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Rome. Take care.
You're the best. I mean that sincerely. That I say it when he comes on, and I mean it sincerely. That probably, if he's not the best columnist in the country, he absolutely is the most versatile sports columnist in the country. That guy literally writes the hell out of anything and everything. I've got a lot of respect for Dan Wetzel. 1-800-636-8686. Harrison Bryant joins me at 40 past. Still ahead, I've got thoughts on Trevor Lawrence. Man, what a week it's been for him. He is positive, tested positive, will not go against Boston College. They don't need him against Boston College. May or may not go against Notre Dame. And as Dan Wetzel points out, that's a big matchup right there. You know, a matchup between a couple of top five teams, something you're not going to see very much of this year. Is he going to go in that game or not? Maybe, probably, possibly. But if he does, it would be without practice. And we'll see. And also, Nebraska fan, Big Ten fan. Really interesting about the marriage, a marriage of desperation, a marriage of money, a marriage of convenience. They don't get along. They probably won't get along. That point about how everybody in the conference agreed to this notion of we're only playing conference games. And then Wisconsin pulls out of its game against Nebraska, and Nebraska not only doesn't ask about scheduling another game, but doesn't ask and goes out and negotiates a contract for another game. And says, we're doing this. That's cool, right? And the conference says, no. Of course it's not cool. Nobody does that. Nobody but you. And then Nebraska's response is something along the lines of, yeah, well, maybe you should. Maybe we should be doing this. Yeah, but we voted not to do this. So that's very interesting. He did make a key point. Nebraska's not looking to leave the conference. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? The conference is not looking to kick Nebraska out, but they're stuck with each other, and there's a definite disconnect, a philosophical disconnect between the two. And I would also agree with what Dan Wetzel said. Inherently, I kind of see both sides. You could see where Nebraska would say, well, wait a minute. Wisconsin pulled out of that game. We're not the ones that have the outbreak. We have that open date. We have somebody that will fill that open date. Why would we not try to cash in on that? Why would we not try to play? We don't know how long the year is going to be. We got to get the money while we can. And the conference says, yeah, but you can't go rogue like that. We have an agreement. We all voted on this. When we come back, more of me. And Dodger fan is lining up and wondering why they're not getting on the air. Not just Dodger fan clones, but the Dodger fan you hate most of all. Close your eyes and imagine a Dodger fan. What Dodger fan would you least like to hear from? And then keep your eyes closed and then imagine a second Dodger fan. Who would you secondly least like to hear from? They're both on hold. And then think of a third person who sings really dumb parodies that never gets on. And then you're welcomed into my life. Will any of them get on? I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. There is no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means more with DraftKings. It's so simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the cap, you see how your team stacks up against the competition, because nothing adds to the excitement of watching that game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. So if you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting on? Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes this week. Do not miss out on all the action. Enter the code ROME. Get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your first deposit. Codename ROME, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, Sunday is a big NFL day. Got a couple of elite teams fighting for division supremacy. The NFL on CBS is all over it. Steelers and Ravens. Also a key AFC Eastern showdown between the Bills and the Patriots. You may have seen where Cam Newton called that a must-win game for the Pats. You can join JB and the fellas as they get you set for all the day's action on the NFL today. It starts at noon Eastern. It's 9 Pacific. It is Sunday. I will be there suited and booted. Got to pick my suit. I've not done that yet. I got to pick my David August suit. I've already got my takes. Drew Kalisky picked them for me early in the week. I'm talking NFC West. I'm going to pick my winner for that division. I'm talking about the Browns and whether or not they're legit. I'm talking about Tua, Justin Herbert. So I've got my views from Rome. Check that out. Sunday, noon Eastern and 9 Pacific, the NFL on CBS. All right, so in a year that's been anything but normal, I thought that I would bring you some normal. We all have a new normal, but I want to bring you some of the old normal. A tradition, if you will. Now, I know the days have blurred together since March. It's so weird, right? Whenever I think about March, it all starts in March. This all went down in March. But March feels like years ago. I know a lot of you have not been the same since. I know a lot of you have not been to work in the last 8 months. I know there's a high probability that you've got kids all up in your business right now when they would normally be at school because you would normally be at work, but you're at home and you're trying to teach them. I know all this. So no one's going to blame you if you do not know what today is or what the day is. But I can remind you of exactly what it is. That's it. Well, I mean, technically, tomorrow is Halloween. But since it is tomorrow and I no longer have the Scrub Saturday show, I'm going to give it the nod today. No, we did not costume up. Although I'm sure that Ritt wanted to. He's like that kind of dork. And no, he's not dressed up as Dwight Eisenhower. That's just his face. So don't go trying to rip it off of him thinking it's a Dwight Eisenhower mask. If you see him later today, it's not. That's his face. This isn't Face Off with Ritt. That's actually his face. This isn't like Mission Impossible where Tom Cruise has the face of the bad guy. I'll say this. Alvin, incredible. How many of you, though, are hyped to be at home today and not in the office with a bunch of weirdo adults who never grew up and are still parading around down the cubes dressed up as Hugh Hefner or something even baggier than that? Do you know how many Joe Exotic outfits you're dodging today by staying at home instead of being in the office? So there is a silver lining. And no, dressing up as the virus is not original, nor is it funny. People are dead. People are unemployed. Have some dignity. Have some self-awareness. Do the right thing. Do not jump into some homemade red ball of virus as your costume tomorrow. Anyway, as different as this year is, one thing remains completely unchanged. Alvin's Spooky Mix. This is now a 10-year tradition, unlike any other. Nothing can stop it. If you're not familiar with the Spooky Mix, every year, Alvin DeLauro grabs a bubbling cauldron of sonic doom and sprinkles in some of the spookiest sound bites from Jungle, The Jungle, past and present. Last year, Volume 9 had exactly 50 sound bites in it. Volume 1 back in the day had just 23, so it has more than doubled in size since its inception, and Volume 10 has even more. If you want to play along, get ready to tweet me as many of the drops that you can identify in this mix and listen for the new ones and see if you can rip those too. Are you ready? It's Alvin's Spooky Mix. In honor of Halloween, I do present to you Alvin's Spooky Mix, Volume 10.
Wake up. I hate you too much. You ain't the same ghost.
That was tragic. The hand was almost severed off.
I get corona, I get corona.
The angry whopper.
All day.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid of you.
Andy.
Someone call someone.
Don't. Look
out. Jesus Christ, it's...
Well, that was kind of abrupt, but there you go. Alvin's Spooky Mix Volume 10. I think, you know what, Alvin? I think you could probably run that back one more time. Dude, now.
Wake up. I hate you too much. You ain't the same ghost.
That was tragic.
The hand was almost severed off.
I get Corona, I get Corona.
The Angry Whopper.
All day.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid of you.
Andy.
Someone call someone.
Don't.
Look out.
Jesus Christ. It's...
Thought I heard Rit. I thought I heard the JC bomb as it relates to Jason Bourne. I think I need that one more time, Alvin. Just because.
Wake up.
I hate you too much.
You ain't the same ghost.
That was tragic.
The hand was almost severed off.
I get Corona, I get Corona.
The Angry Whopper.
All day.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid of you.
Andy.
Someone call someone.
Don't.
Look out.
Jesus Christ. It's...
Ambi. How many of those can you get? How many of the new additions can you get? Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Alvin's Spooky Mix, Volume 10. One more time, Alvin.
Wake up.
I hate you too much.
You ain't the same ghost.
That was tragic.
The hand was almost severed off.
I get Corona, I get Corona.
The Angry Whopper.
All day.
Thank you.
I'm not afraid of you.
Andy.
Someone call someone.
Don't.
Look out.
Jesus Christ. It's...
Best thing about that, the more you listen to it, the more things you pick up on, right? I picked up on a Kevin. And Yoko.
Which doesn't put the...
Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Ambi was the scariest part of Alvin's mix. Stucknut tweets, Ambi. Nothing was spookier than Ritz Ambi.
Ambi.
That's really spooky. That's scary. Old man Rit. Ambi.
Ambi.
What's up, baby? What's up, Ambi? Nathan Gross tweets, definitely can point out the seductive voice of the old man hitting on Andy.
Ambi.
What you wearing, Ambi? You wonder what I'm wearing? Not hair. Haunted Horse. I heard Ashley Simpson, Jera, Hope Solo, 911, Shakira, Scotty Farrell, and the Cornhole Lady. Well done. Guy nailed a lot of it. That is so good. That might be my favorite part of it. Mailman Casey tweets, Ritz Ambi was hilarious.
Ambi.
All right, so if you want to add to it, hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. I may hit that one more time a little bit later on. Harrison Bryant joins me when we come back. We're talking America's team with America's tight end. Harrison Bryant, that is next. America's big head. James Kelly will have his picks going into the weekend. We do that on Friday. That's coming up next hour. Here is a sports update for you. Here is Erica Herskowitz.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash. Live from Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Nothing but show, good content. I'm feeling it on Friday. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I've got one phone line open. And as you know, that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a tight end for the Cleveland Browns, coming off a big game in Sunday's come-from-behind win over Cincinnati. He had four receptions for 56 yards, two touchdowns. He was an All-American. He was a John Mackey Award winner at Florida Atlantic. He was the 115th pick overall in this year's draft. Cleveland, 5-2 on the year. And they've got a big one against Las Vegas on Sunday. It is a CBS game. Tight end Harrison Bryant is my guest. Harrison, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, dude. Good. Listen, I know you're getting ready for Las Vegas, but if you could, can I start right here? Can you take me back to Sunday's game against Cincinnati for a moment? In fact, if you were to go back further, last week you're in the tight end's room. You find out that Austin Hooper's not feeling well. It turned out that he was going to have an appendectomy. That means you're going to have to step right up. What was your reaction in that moment, and then what was your mindset going into the game?
Yeah, later in the week, we were sitting in the tight end room, figured out Hoop wasn't going to be able to play Sunday. So, all three of us, me, Dave, Steven Carlson, we kind of sat down and were like, all right, we got to go. We got to pick up the slack and go do whatever we can to help the team win. And, we did a great job last weekend and obviously came out with a huge win and in very dramatic fashion. So we're just looking to continue that success this week against a really good Raiders team.
That's exactly what happened. In fact, you stepped up. You connected with Baker Mayfield for a touchdown in the second quarter. And then again in the third quarter, what do you remember about the TDs? And then how special was it to show up like that when your number was called?
Yeah, the first one was kind of just a little option route. Was able to get outside, and Baker made a great throw. And then the second one, it was just like a kind of a bender where just to find the zone. And again, Baker made a great throw low to the ground and protected me from any hits or anything. And obviously two big plays, and like I say, I'm always just trying to take advantage of my opportunities when my number's called, and I definitely feel like I've done that so far, and I'm just looking to continue to improve and keep making plays.
Harrison Bryant joining us. Baker got off to a tough start and then lost Odell, and then he just played lights out. I mean, I could argue that's his best game as a pro. How would you describe the chemistry you have with Baker, and what's it like to play with him?
Yeah, I feel like our chemistry is pretty good. It just continues to improve week by week and practice our practice. And, just being on the field with him, it's great to have him on your team because he's just a competitor. He wants to win and anything he's doing, especially when we're out there competing against another team. And, it's just awesome to have him on our sideline and to lead our team to, the start we've had so far. And we're just looking to continue to improve on that.
We're talking to Harrison Bryant. So Cincinnati scores with just over a minute left to take a three-point lead. You guys go on a perfect drive to get into field goal range. But instead of settling for that field goal, Mayfield hits Donovan Peoples-Jones in the end zone for a game winner. At that point, man, what kind of emotions are you feeling? What's running through you at that point?
Yeah, I remember the last play. I think it was 16 seconds, and he just launched it to the corner end zone, and Donovan made a great play. And, I just couldn't believe it. I was going crazy, and that was actually the first time I've ever had a come from behind win, and win on the last drive. So it was pretty cool to have that moment and just get a huge win.
No doubt. You mentioned what it was like in the tight end room. I'm curious. You tied your career high for receptions in a game, and you had a new career high in receiving yards and touchdowns. But after the game, you were talking about how fellow tight end David Njoku's TD reception in the fourth quarter, and you called it, quote, one of the best plays of the game. It seems to me a lot of guys would be so competitive with guys at the same position and feel like maybe they're not getting the targets that they should be getting, but you're not like that. How come?
I want to win. No matter if I make plays, Dave makes plays, Hooper makes plays, or, anyone. I'm just here to, contribute in the tight end room whichever way I can and to help the team win. That's been my mindset for a long time. And, what good comes from, having 10 catches and losing the game? Nothing good comes from that, So that's really been my mindset.
Browns tight end Harrison Bryant joining us. All right, so you get ready for a big one against the Raiders Sunday on CBS. When you look at the Raiders, what is the biggest key to having success against them?
Yeah, obviously they're an extremely talented team, extremely talented defense, really solid front seven, and really good back end. So, we're just really honing in on the details of previous games that we've played and just trying to, improve daily with the game plan that our coaches came up with so far and just looking to go out and execute it.
Harrison, I think that some people are familiar with your journey to this point, but for those who are not, you were an All-American, and you were the John Mackey Award winner at Florida Atlantic. But before that, you played your high school ball at John Milledge Academy in Milledgeville, Georgia. And for a while, you were a dominant offensive tackle. What were the days like when you were playing tackle?
Yeah, you know, obviously a lot different than now. I was shorter and heavier. I was kind of the chubby kid in high school. And, you know, luckily grew a few inches and, you know, got one offer and an opportunity to go to FAU and, you know, ended up here. So it's worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, but to that point, though, in your junior year, you did catch two tackle-eligible passes for TDs during a playoff game. Your coach, JT Wall, loved what he saw, but at the same time, he said it would be hard to take the best tackle in the league and move him to tight end. Like, what was that time like? Were you itching to play more tight end?
He actually brought the idea up to me, and I was like, yeah, I love that idea. And he was like, well, we'll see about it. And then throughout the summer, you know, we kept talking about it. And then finally he, you know, let me transition into the playing tight end at, like, full time. So, you know, I'm thankful for him for helping me make that decision and allowing me to do that. So it's been great so far.
Well, so how about this? The story was that you were planning to go to Samford. So how'd you end up at FAU?
Yeah, I was planning to go to Samford to play defensive end, and then, you know, their OC went over to FAU about 2 weeks before signing day, and they called me and asked me if I wanted to come down on a visit, and then ended up offering me as a tight end, and that's how I ended up there.
Right, so the coaches at FAU say they knew for a fact you'd be playing on Sundays pretty much from the moment you arrived there. Did you know that as well, or were you just kind of locked in and focused on who or whatever was in front of you in that given day?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say earlier on in my career I really knew that set in stone. Like, you know, but later on in my career, coaching and stuff kept, you know, telling me just to keep working and it would all work out. But really my mindset throughout my whole 4 years there at FAU was just, you know, work, continue to work and just play or work each day and then play each game like it's my last and, you know, everything will work out.
So, Harrison, finally, like, I know this year is so unusual, and for the NFL, for the entire world, it's just a really different time, and I know you're taking it one day at a time, one practice at a time, one game at a time, you know, all the normal cliches that all ring true, but I'm curious, Cleveland is such an amazing football town, and the Browns fans are so hungry, man, they're so passionate. What's it like for you to live and work in that town, especially when the team is 5-2?
Yeah, it's been amazing so far. You know, from the first day I got here, a few weeks before training camp, I could just tell that, you know, Cleveland was all about the Browns and all the sports teams here. And, you know, just to have the success we've had so far and are looking to build on, it's been great. You know, everyone around Cleveland in this area has been extremely supportive and, you know, had to continue to improve on that and keep giving them what they want.
Well, they are 5-2, the Browns, and they're at home against Las Vegas. Another big game. That is a CBS game on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. Harrison Bryant is a tight end coming off a huge game. He was an All-American. Harrison, appreciate it so much. Great to have you on the show. Good luck on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Harrison Bryant. It's a good tight end room they have there. Austin Hooper is obviously a huge jungle guy. David Njoku was a great addition, and Harrison Bryant making the most of an opportunity. He had a big, big game. All right, so that part of the show, the interview portion, I don't count Big Head and his bets as an interview per se. That's a segment now. We'll have that for you next hour. In the meantime, Alvin, if you don't mind, why don't you re-rack the spooky mix? I'm still getting reaction. Now, this is volume number 10. Halloween is tomorrow. We're doing this today. I want you to hit me with how many of these drops you can actually identify, and can you identify the new ones, and which ones do you like best? So far, the scariest, spookiest thing, the consensus is Rit hitting on Ambi. Rit talking with Andy when she called him on his show. Alvin, if you don't mind.
Ambi.
Got to admit, Rit, that is really creepy. Spooky and creepy. Alvin, to give the proper context, and because it's not that long and it is volume 10, would you mind running that thing in full once again?
Wake up. I hate you too.
You ain't the same ghost.
The hand was almost severed off.
I get Corona, I get Corona.
The angry Whopper!
All day.
The
I'm not afraid of you!
Ambi.
Someone call someone!
Don't.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to tell you one that I picked up on the fifth time through that I had heard earlier, but it didn't really resonate. It didn't stick for me. But I'll tell you who's not getting nearly enough credit. Maria Menounos.
I'm not afraid of you!
She's so
good. Are you? We're the best there was! The best there ever will be! Quiet!
God, she's all class. Right. She's so great. Right, she is so talented and so awesome and so smart and so tough. That was when she came on stage with me prior to the Super Bowl, and not just going in, but going in on Eagle fan.
Quiet!
Her telling Eagle fan to be quiet is incredible.
Quiet!
Big fan of Maria's. Bella B is in. She asks, how did Rit killing Tom Hanks not make the spooky mix?
Tom Hanks went belly up as well, so.
Rome, the best part of the spooky mix is the cornhole lady. Please play the whole soundbite.
Stop it right now! We will stop this tournament! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get!
That is great.
Get! We will stop this tournament right now! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser! Cut the crap!
That is amazing. I will stop this tournament so fast it'll make your head spin. I will turn this cornhole tournament around and drive right home. Hey, Rome, the number one Dodger fan is on hold. Please take my call. I'll be quick. Signed, Dodger Jim.
You sound like a homer.
Stephen Phoenix, War Elvira, handing Rome his Starbucks coffee tomorrow morning. Elvira. You don't know Elvira, Hawk. Hawk just hit me with, what does that mean? Elvira is a famous, what do you call, like she's a vampiress, right? She's a female vampire. She's famous, Elvira. That's no, Alvin. That's Seattle native Hawk, not knowing what, well, but she's national, right, Elvira? Mistress of the dark, right? I hope when I go for that nitro, that cold brew nitro tomorrow, she hands it to me. Hour number three, straight ahead. Do not go anywhere. Alvin's week that was. The Big Head, James Kelly's coming up with Big Head Bets and more.